Hey, welcome back to the Bobblehead Podcast. We are glad you are here today. It's a bit of a quick hitter topic and a mindset topic. And the premise that we get to choose the people with which we surround ourselves on a daily basis and how and when to learn to trust your instinct and what to look out for when you choose your friends. So as always, we're glad you're here. Let's get started.
Okay. And we're back.
Second.
Hello again.
Found you in the same position that I left you.
No, I'm wearing the same shirt. I just thought this would be my new podcast shirt. I just wear the same shirt. I'm like Mr. Rogers. Hey, I think I need to do like Mr. Rogers because I'm working out of my little smoking room office thing up there. I need to put like a hook over here and I need to have like a little cardigan sweater and some little slippers. And so I come in and during the podcast, I put on my slippers and put on the little thing and yeah, it can be
and
my
you
little
You need to
intro.
Do like your own rendition of like, you're doing so good and I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. You're growing up so nicely.
Have you seen that meme? It's like,
and then,
you know,
and then break out my
parents.
Puppets.
My parents as a parent, and it was like going crazy. And then like my mom as a grandparent, and then it's the Mr. Rogers. Like, you're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. That is 100% me. Well, actually, you know, honestly, even like from Peyton to Caitlin, like,
oh,
you know, like the screaming like over the top sports dad versus now I'm just like, you know what, kid, like do what you do and love what you do and whatever.
You know, so I was a first child and, you know, poor Reagan was the first child and you're so scared to death on your first one to screw it up is that you're just super hard on them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then by the second one, like with Sophie, we're like, yeah, she'll be all right. You know,
dude, I can't tell you how many, like with crew playing baseball and some of the parents on the team and like their firstborns are on the baseball team. I've pulled had conversations with a couple of dads being like, look, dude, like there's no judgment here. Cause I was you, but like, yeah. If you don't change you got about 2 years before your kid stops playing the sport and hates your guts. So
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Use me as an example of what you need to change and change it before it's too late.
Did they listen?
Yes. One of them. Yes. One of them's trying.
Okay. Well, hey, at least
and
like,
it doesn't change my life either way, but like your kid's going to hate you.
Your kid's going to hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was something, I think it was Sophie, you said it and Reagan both said it and you said it separately. It's probably the thing that's made Jamie and I the happiest. Like, okay, there's a lot of things we did not do right. Like we look back, we go, gosh, I mean, I cringe sometimes like, oh, I can't believe I did that or I said that or I handled it this way. But something both the kids have said that Jamie and I were like, okay, we're going to call this whole parenting experiment a semi-success is, you know, both the girls, thank goodness, have counselors and they go through therapy of stuff they're dealing with in life. And we encourage that, right? We talked about it on the podcast. We highly encourage that. And so both of them separately said, hey, you know, what's really cool is we never bring you guys up when we're talking to our counselor. And I'm
wow.
Like, dude, that's like, we're never the subject of a counseling session.
That's pretty cool.
I feel like it's a major gold star. Now
it really is.
Now, wow. In 5 years, that once they become parents, some things may come back to them and there may be some long sessions, right? There may be some long sessions like, you know, I realized that this is not that hard and dad made this really difficult and he made my life a living hell. And looking at it, there was really no need for that.
So there's something about like dads and their firstborn sons, right? Like very few people in this world can piss me off like Peyton.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. Right. And again, he and I have always had a unique dynamic anyway.
Yeah.
But like they just can just throw you into a white hot rage. And there's no doubt. I know the thing that he's going to talk to the counselor about. And I think I said it his sophomore that was his junior year and it was something to do with football and it's cringeworthy to say to this day, but I'm going to call myself out on it because it's just the way that it is.
Okay.
I said, you're going to go down as the biggest waste of football talent in the history of Heath High School. So yeah, there it is. I'll see myself out.
Oh, and you said it under the pretense of, come on, man, you're really talented and get it together. Use the gifts you have.
Yeah.
And it probably just, it's like a dump truck with just a load full of manure on his head.
Like, I see the talent in you. I believe in you so much. You should be doing better. So I'm going to verbalize that in the worst way possible, which is like, the memoirs of Davin Marceau, in fairness. But that one was like particularly cringeworthy.
Oh, that's really classic. Yeah. That's really good.
But the good thing is it was so long. Like, I've grown so much in the last 18 months since I said it, you know, so like, you know, like,
right. Right. There was somebody, and I've heard it several times, but it's with your kids, the ones especially that are so much like you, it's the stuff that's like you that drives you crazy. And what you catch yourself doing is getting so mad at them about how they are. And those exact things are because of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So every problem that my girls have, seriously, and Jamie will tell you this, come from me. I mean, every single ailment, mental disorder, physical problem, every single one of them have come from me, like across the board, like not even close. And so I was trying to think of something. I'm like, there's got to be something that comes from Jamie. No, not one. Nope. Only the good things in their life come from my wife. And only the things that my kids probably have to go to therapy about are because of me. Yeah, because of things that I gave them through DNA or, you know, something, right?
Yeah, so I would love to like pump you up in this moment and be like, Tim, don't be so hard on yourself. But
no, it's, I mean, hey, which leads us to the topic today.
I know. I actually thought about that after I said that. I'm like, oh, crap. So what does that say about me?
Yeah, well, so it's something that you said one day, and I don't know if you heard it from somebody or you just came up with it or what, but it's rung so true with me. And that is when someone either tells you or shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
Like, wow. You know, I remember the first time you ever said that, and I thought through all the situations in my life with people and tried to come up with ones that's not right about. And I couldn't find one, like every single time. So talk about that a little bit. Where did you come up with that? And talk through that concept.
You know, I'm sure I heard it somewhere. I can't give credit to the original person. But it's something that I've clung to for a long time. And, you know, it's basically a version of trust your gut. Right.
Yeah.
And there's so many times, and I can think of a dozen times professionally, even at Access, right, where like you meet somebody and you have a need, you have a professional need that you have to fill, right? So you try so hard to convince yourself that this person isn't who they're telling you and showing you that they are.
Yeah.
And how many times did that not come around to bite us in the butt? Is zero.
Dude. How many checks do we have to write to make that go away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we want so hard to believe that they're better or believe that they're different than they are. And it's less painful to, and less reflective to use the professional realm as examples for this. Right. And the personal life is no different. Right. But your gut, your intuition about people is, I think, the most important thing. And even in a professional capacity, when, you know, we always had our barriers, like our road signs, like Colby's and Clifton's, and, you know, but your gut is such an important factor, because again, like how many candidates did we see that had shining examples of what the Colby's and Clifton should be for that role, but you met them and you're like, man, like the things that you're saying and the way that you're interacting with the server at dinner and the way that you're treating the people that you just met, like, I believe you, or you're telling me who you are, but damn, I don't want to believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's important for everybody to understand, when you say your gut, we're not talking about a feeling you get. It's things, that feeling you get in your gut comes from hearing people or seeing people and what they do and what they say. Right. And so many times, and especially you think about the failed romantic relationships in your life, is either that person was so beautiful or so handsome or whatever that you're like, man, I want so bad for this to work. But, you know, they were a jerk to people around them, or they said things to you, or, you know, you're like, you know, they were just having a bad day. You know, that maybe that's not really who are they. Maybe they'll change. Or, I mean, how many times has that happened? Right.
Yeah.
But, or in a professional relationship, it's like, man, this person has the resume, all the things they've done, the experience is exactly what we're looking for. But man, there's a couple things that were said that, you know, like, you know, maybe they just said that wrong. Maybe they just, you know, fill in the blanks. And so you wind up bringing them on anyway. And man, here's the crazy thing. It's probably not 3 weeks before you start seeing more and more and more of it. And you keep hanging on. And sometimes the worst case is it's hang on for years and that bites you in the butt with a lawsuit or, you know, a culture that's just absolutely demolished. That's awful. And it's just, it always rears its ugly head when you let those situations hang on, when people show you who they are or they say who they are and you continue to ignore it, you wind up paying the price. They don't, mm-hmm. It's not there. It's not on them. It's on you. It's you pay the price.
And what you see and feel, others see and feel as well. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, again, using the professional side or let's a relationship side, your friends are like, I don't like the way he treats you. Why did he the way that he treated you that night bothers me. Yeah. And what ends up happening is we get protective. So we're doubling down right now. Yeah. We're more invested in the protection and wanting to believe in the good side of whatever that person happens to be.
Yeah.
And so then it happens again and you redouble down and you just keep doubling down and doubling down and doubling down. And all of a sudden a decade goes by and you find yourself locked in an incredibly toxic relationship because you didn't believe what you knew to be true the first 3 weeks in.
A good example of that is, you know, we've all been in this situation where we're with three or four friends and one person all of a sudden starts talking about someone that's not in the group in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel really uncomfortable. Like, I don't know if this is a good idea. And we've all been there and you know, and we've been told this, is that if that person is going to say something negative about someone not in the group, when you're not in the circle, it's going to be about you. And, you know, there's no name names, but there's someone that we know in the Rockwell area, I'll just say that, and used to have a ton of friends, but was like that and would tend to gossip constantly to the point of, like, now we never see that person around anybody hardly ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's strange. Like, that friend group got really small down to like one or two people. So, you know, what happens is, you know, you gossip about enough people that some people, even in that group, are going to hear about themselves being gossiped about, and they're going to turn and say, you know what? I don't need that in my life. And so you wind up with no friends. Mm-hmm. So you wind up talking to yourself about everybody else that are terrible people. And, you know, nobody wants to be there. But it goes back to, you know, when we see people do things or say things that are against or not in line with our values, then you better take that to heart. And that goes back to the, you know, you've heard me say it a million times. We have really close friends and we have acquaintances. And man, I'm happy to be an acquaintance with those type of people. We could see each other and say hi and have small talk when we see them out for dinner. And, you know, I really enjoy seeing them and being with them for 5 or 10 minutes. But man, that's not somebody that I want to jump in a foxhole with. Not somebody that I want to associate myself with long-term, where I don't want people thinking that's me. I don't want people putting me in that same category. And I'm not talking negative about them because they can choose their life however they want to live it. And that's great. But man, you just got to be really careful and figure out real quick what your values are and make sure that people around you are in line with those values as well.
Look, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to be around people that are going to talk that way, then you're inevitably going to become linked to them. And people see and hear the things that you see and hear, and you will become linked to that type of person. And then, you know, you're going to find people wanting to be around you less because they're believing you when you tell them who you are, which is somebody who is willing to go along when somebody's going to bash somebody else and talk negatively about them and their family. And we all have a choice. Like we are 100% free and able to choose the people with which we surround ourselves. And choosing to surround yourself with that kind of negativity. And if you don't proactively believe people when they tell you who they are, then others are going to start believing you when you show them who you are.
Yep, that's exactly right. And to be clear, we're not talking about, you know, you have to vote for the right same candidate, right? when it comes to, not talking about that at all. We're just talking about in line with your true values of what do you hold dear to who you are as a person, your character.
Yeah.
That's more in line what we're talking about. Or, you know, if you're in a professional atmosphere, is what is the culture that you're trying to create? And is that person going to fit in with that culture and not only make the culture stronger, but, you know, sometimes even more importantly, not drag that culture backwards. You know, we dealt with that for years. We had some people in the organization that no matter what we try to do is they would give you, what would you call it, a false yes? Or what do you, what was your term?
A counterfeit yes.
A counterfeit yes. Is they would shake their head to you, yes, I agree. But then they would turn around when the call's over and do everything they could in the next 2 or 3 days or a week to take you under or take that project and make it a failure. Mm-hmm. So it's, and sometimes you would never know it till later. And you're like, wait a minute, but they said this, but that's not what they did. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that will drag you down. And if you're trying to reach a goal, a 10-year goal, that's the kind of stuff that stretches it to 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I experienced.
Like those are lifelong lessons that like you learned before I did in business, was that you knew it early on. You saw it, you felt it early on, but there was a need, a fabricated need, if nothing else. Right. And so you were willing to let those behaviors go because there was a professional need. And then that type of behavior breeds other types of behavior. And then next thing you know, like you have setbacks with revenue and then you want to get rid of the person. And then you got to start writing checks to get rid of the person, right? Where if you cut it out root and stone in the beginning, or just don't hire it in the beginning, it saves you a whole lot of time and a whole lot of heartache later on.
And it's so hard though, you know, professionally to find that right person is so hard. Like sometimes you search for months. I actually had a call today with a lady down in Austin and she's a fractional CFO. I'm like, man, could I have used you about 2 years ago?
No kidding.
You know? But I was like, we couldn't, you know, it's so hard to find. And so you think about trying to find the right team member is so difficult to find the right one. And, you know, when you're looking for a spouse, whew, even harder, right? You can look, you can go out with lots of toads before you find the right one. But you so bad want to be in that relationship that's valuable and good and whole. That sometimes you overlook some things, and it's kind of, you know, in the last podcast, one of the things we talked about is when you go through adversity, don't shortcut the pain. It's kind of the same thing. Don't shortcut the process, even if it takes longer than you want to find the right person.
Yeah. I think the last thing that I'll say, and this works professionally and personally, but like you can train skills. You can't teach somebody to be a good person.
Oh man. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. And we want people to fit in right away. So we look for the skills, thinking they'll plug in. And man,
we're willing to overlook the cultural stuff. And then you can't make
a bad person good.
Yep.
You just can't.
The whole skill will. What is it? Who is it? Leaders Eat Last. Whatever that guy's name is. The skill will matrix. And, you know, find people with the trust skill matrix too, right? Like you want high trust, high skill, high trust. Even if it's a low skill, you'll take that over low trust, high skill.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, that's so true. That's good.
Just don't be around crappy people. That's the takeaway for the podcast today, kids.
No crappy patties of people.
No crappy people.
Yeah, no crappy people. Okay, Davin. That was good. It's short and sweet. Hope you got something out of it. I know I did. And Sophie, thanks as always. Sophie is very, very pregnant. And so I know she is really glad to be doing this from her house and not from my house where we've sitting behind a soundboard. So I think we talked about this in a lot of podcasts. We're doing this remotely. So anyway, Sophie, enjoy. Thank you so much for all of your work after this. And continue being a good pregnant mama. And we're all
she remains the brains and beauty behind this operation.
Yes. In so many ways. All right. Davin, appreciate you. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Until next time, man. Love you.
See you.